Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sorley takes it. They rush four. Back, time. Delivers over the middle. He's got him inside the 15, to the 10. Hamilton to the 5. Near corner. Touchdown, Penn State. A 92-yard drive by the Nittany Lions. Their longest drive of the season. Up at the line of scrimmage, they talk protection. Now he backs up. Three-man front, but they show blitz. They bring blitz. McSorley back. Throws. Caught by Blacknall to the 20, 15, to the 10. Breaks a tackle to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. And the Nittany Lions take the lead, converting a 4th and 8.
This is an outstanding play by Blacknall. Made a big catch.
Turns. Gives it to L.J. Scott. Hit in the hole. Dives. He didn't get there. Penn State will get the football. Motion by Stewart away from us. Fake the jet sweep. Back. The Werke pump fake. They go screen near side and blown up by Chavis, who throws it for a loss back at the 40-yard line. You can't have a tackle read a play better than that. Throws inside screen to Hamilton. 35. Hamilton gives a little bit of ground. Turns upfield. 30. Barkley in front to the 20. And out of bounds and rolled out of bounds for a first down at the 15-yard line. Lau looks at Vasey, takes the snap, put down. The kick by Davis is up, and the kick by Tyler Davis is good. And Penn State cuts into the lead. It's 21-17. Michigan State with 2:11 to go in the third. And McSorley, play action fake. Steps up, long and deep downfield, wide open, Tompkins, he's got it to 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, and the Nittany Lions retake the lead on the final play of the third quarter. Second and 10, here comes the blitz, delivers far side, and Amani Oruwariye picks it off. He intercepts it at the 7-yard line on a spectacular interception off the deflection. He kept his feet in bounds, and Amani gets his 4th pick of the year. On 3rd down and 8, their own 9-yard line. Takes the snap, back to pass, delivers, caught 10-yard line, 15, first down, 20, hurtling over the 20, and out to the 22-yard line is Mike Kosicki. Werke will put it down. Center of the field. Goal post staring him in the face. 34-yard attempt to win it. Werke looks back. Now looks forward. Takes the snap. Puts it down. The kick by Coughlin is up. The kick by Coughlin is good. And Michigan State wins it 27-24.
We can't turn the ball over. Yep. I mean, you cannot turn the ball over and expect to win. We had 3 turnovers. I think we only got one. You know, that doesn't work. Since the beginning of time, that doesn't work. We didn't handle the weather really well. We slopped around for a quarter or so and did not handle that really well. It's the first time I've ever been through that. I've never been through it in 23 years. We didn't handle it very well. So we got to be better moving forward. There's no doubt about it. We did blitz a lot, but we didn't get there enough. You know, that's kind of been the issue the last couple weeks. We are blitzing, but we aren't getting there. You know, whether we're rushing 4 down, 5 down, or whether we're bringing 6, we're not getting there. We're not hitting the quarterback enough. You know, you got to give that quarterback credit. He's very accurate. He's very poised, and he's mobile. He's good job moving in the pocket. They made plays, but we busted stuff. I mean, you know, we had running backs running clean because we didn't feel our responsibility, whether it was a linebacker going with him or it was a peeling defensive end in the blitz or whatever it is. We didn't do it enough, you know. So too many mistakes against a good football team on the road. We've made those plays over the last year. In the last couple of weeks, we haven't. You know, we haven't consistently been able to make those plays. You know, obviously, in a game like this, you know, being able to run the ball would help you, would help our protection. And we got to get better in that area. That's something that we are going to get better at, running the football.
James Franklin after the game, and I started to see something, to be honest with you, in the running game in the second half. You started to see more forward movement against a team that plays the run very well. But I started to see some forward movement with the Penn State running game as the game went. There's a fine line in these games, a very fine line. We see what home field does mean. You know, for example, Michigan State beats Iowa at home, but Iowa takes out Ohio State playing in Kinnick. Iowa plays Penn State tough in Kinnick. Penn State wins the game. Northwestern beats Michigan State in Evanston. All right, then you know you see something like that. That's big. Penn State was able to win in Evanston, so it's just a fine line of a lot of little things that are going. Let's look big picture here for a moment. You know, as much as the short term at the moment stings because the idea of going to the college football playoff is not going to happen, but Penn State has a season or had a season to this point of very high expectations. It's not over with yet, but they had very high expectations. I much rather would have high expectations. That means you're somewhere, right? Flying under the radar is only good for a little period of time, right? Well, if we fly under the radar, they won't know we're there. Well, that's exactly right. They may not know you're there, right? I'd rather have high expectations. I'd rather have that that feeling of, look, you've got something. Because Penn State does have something. Now, they're not completely, not everything settled, as we all know. I mean, there's still a couple of areas that you need to look at. Still the offensive line, still linebackers that have been the slowest to recover from everything that happened. And that takes a little bit of time. More so in the offensive line than at linebacker. Linebacker takes less time. It just turns out that's the way it's played out. But when you look at coaching jobs, and this is something I talk about all the time, and Sean knows I talk about this all the time, and that deals with, it's interesting to see somebody come in, inherit somebody else's talent, do something with it. But I always point out that the test of time and the test of your program is then when it finally rolls over and becomes all of yours. Gus Malzahn's a good example. He inherited Gene Chizik's talent, and he took them to the national championship game. But now more and more as time goes, all the talent has been brought in and has been coached by Gene, by Gus Malzahn. They're not as satisfied down there as they were his first year when he inherited talent. Butch Jones did some interesting things early when he inherited talent. Now it's all of Butch Jones's program. They're not so enamored with it. Jim Harbaugh. Now, Jim Harbaugh, in all fairness, like, I think it doesn't take a genius. I mean, the guy is a good coach. I mean, you know, you may look at his personality and go, hey, okay. But the guy can coach. But he also is in an interesting transition year for him because Brady Hoke recruited his guts out. And Jim Harbaugh was able to take inherited talent and get a lot out of it. I mean, when you're seeing 14 guys go to the NFL, you know, they put out a press release and Jim Harbaugh is 14 players going to the NFL. He didn't recruit any one of the 14 guys. Brady Hoke recruited all 14 of them. It's a question of what does the program look like when it's all yours? A guy like Nick Saban, he came on at the end of Alabama's probation. And now look what he's done. I mean, that's something that's rarely talked about, the situation he walked into at Alabama. Well, James Franklin walked into an incredible situation where he has 65 scholarships, then 75. So he did not, you know, because Bill O'Brien, you know, he did not, quote, inherit all this talent and then start working with it. Because there wasn't, quote, a lot of talent to inherit. That's nobody's fault except for the fact of the rules and regulations that were stipulated against Penn State. So James Franklin didn't walk in and inherit talent and then start winning with it. He had to really start and do the best he could with what he had to work with and then was allowed more latitude to get more scholarship players in with 75, then allowed a little more latitude to get it up to 80 or 85 along the way. And so what you're seeing essentially with a couple of exceptions, like a fifth-year guard like Brendan Mann. Now, let's say, for example, a fourth-year player like Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki was recruited and verbal to Bill O'Brien. And then when James took over, James had to re-recruit him and just reaffirm he was coming to Penn State. Mike's played his whole career here. But Bill O'Brien's the one that got that going. All right. Essentially, what you're seeing with him is his program. And he's had 2 years of back-to-back 85 scholarships. They have remarkably put themselves in a position of expectations, but now there's the anger of the near misses. And nobody's more upset about it than James Franklin. Nobody's more upset about it than his coaching staff, and nobody's more upset about it than the players, because they expect more out of themselves, too. They don't expect to go to Michigan State and lose by 3 points. They don't expect to go to Ohio State and lose by a point. They expect to win. They're going to have to be better in the running game. But again, I saw some signs of that happening for Penn State in the final quarter and a half of that game. Started to see more of a forward surge, some things starting to happen there. That's a good sign. Defensively, they've got to do a better job in the blitz. The blitz was very effective for Penn State in the first 7 games of the season. The last 2 games, they've had the inability to get to the quarterback. Now, is it a question of timing? Is it a question of them and the ability to scrape? When I talk about a scrape, the ability where if I blitz off the edge, for example, I go right off the hip of the guy in front of me, which then puts the lineman or the running back in a quandary as to which one do I pick up. So timing, or is it scraping, or is it just the fact that you're getting picked up? You know, that's something I don't have an answer for. That's something I'm going to have to ask James Franklin directly, and I will. I'll ask him about that. It's like, you know, what is happening? Because you have to adjust and get yourself to a point where it becomes more effective. Because when you do that, you're leaving your defensive backfield with a lot of one-on-one coverage. The linebackers have to be a little bit better here in pass coverage. And I don't mean picking off passes or knocking them down. I mean getting in the way. When you're playing linebacker, I'll give you a play where a safety made this play. It was a play where Lewerke threw it a little further down the field, down the sideline, and he overthrew it. And that's because in underneath coverage, Marcus Allen rotated over, and he got himself into the passing lane. And he got himself deep enough into the passing lane that caused the overthrow. Because if he throws it on a line, normally Marcus will pick it off, or it'll be an overthrow, and it'll be somebody there behind to get it. Well, the linebackers have to do a little bit better job when they drop of getting themselves into a pass lane where they become disruptive on the pass play just by presence. If you're too shallow on it, they can easily just throw it over you and get it to the target. If you're deeper, you're going to cause the possibility of an interception because they're trying to thread it over you and in the process probably throwing it too high. So they got to be a little bit better there. When it comes to that part, Lewerke threw for 400 yards. He played a really good game. Penn State, ironically, threw for 401. Remember, Trace threw for 381. Saquon completed a pass himself for 20. And special teams-wise, they didn't get what they wanted to out of the game. You're looking at a team, and I think this is where the weather played a real role in it. You're talking about a team in Michigan State that's 113th in the nation in special teams defense. And that part was negated in part because of the weather. And that did not help at all. You give Michigan State credit. They made plays. And now let's get to the base. There are certain keys to any game that are really important. I always talk about giveaway, takeaway. Penn State has spent all season on the positive side of the ledger. Even the Ohio State game, they were +2. Positive side of the ledger, they've scored 94 points this year off of takeaways. They've already scored more points this year off of takeaways than they did all of last season. Penn State in this game was a -2. The 3 interceptions that Trace threw compared to the 1 Amani Oruwariye picked off. I felt that 2 of the interceptions kept Penn State from scoring. And it's obviously Amani's interception kept Michigan State from scoring. Field position. Again, Penn State has won that all year, including Ohio State. Penn State's the average drive start was the 40 against Ohio State. Ohio State's average drive start is the 32. This time it was the 32 for Penn State. I'm sorry, the 32 for Michigan State and only the 19 for Penn State. So Penn State had a long field in front of it all afternoon. And again, these are swing factors in the game. Now, you create your own field position, yes. You're the one that has to minimize your mistakes, all right? And then the other part is explosive plays, and I think that was pretty much even during the course of the game. But those are swing factors that have been normally swing factors that have been very good for Penn State all season long that were not good in this game and worked against them, and despite it, still only lost the game by 3. But they've got to get back to what they do, which is getting good field position, winning the giveaway takeaway battle, which means being more careful with the football, getting their explosive plays, and then getting that running game going again. They're going to face Rutgers, which has won three of its last four games. They've only thrown 63 passes in the last four games. So they want to run the football, run the football, run the football, run the football, and when need be, they'll throw it. But they're only averaging 16 attempts per game during this four-game stretch in which they've won three of four. And they're going to come in with some confidence. They've won three of four, two in a row. And a big difference for Rutgers this year is the fact that they've given up only 34 points in the first quarter. Same time last year, they had given up 134 points. That's 100 fewer points in the first quarter given up by the Rutgers defense, which is playing better this year, much better this year than last year. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
So that's my overview of the game. You may have a different view of the game. And that's what I saw. So if you saw something different, fine. Rutgers, and let us know. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to hear what you think. Joe Susan and Nathan Davis, Matt Leon all today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Eagles and the and Bucknell football basketball today. Andrew Callahan's on the show tomorrow. Greg Pickle coming up on Wednesday. So we have plenty to talk about. And look forward to hearing from you. It's, I'd rather have high expectations than no expectations. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, me too, for sure. But as you mentioned earlier, though, fine line. Is this Rose Bowl field goal, this game field goal? It's just so close. So close.
Well, I mean, you're right there. And that's the issue. You're right there. Now, I mean, you're talking about the last 19 games, they're right there. Now the question is how do you change that? Obviously the two games, Ohio State and USC. You know, it's obvious in the fourth quarter, you've got to finish better, all right? This is a game here with all the craziness that happened that you fall behind, you battle back, and you gave up two fourth-quarter field goals. So, not easy.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
They just with that one statement, he increased the ratings. Oh, come on.
Hey, it's November, you know. They say November sweeps, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. And if there's a problem, they go to work for you right away. They have the best group that takes care of auto, home, life, business, you name it. And they'll make sure it's the right insurance at the right price. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. With that, we bring in the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be back with you. I understand you had a three-hour talk show on Saturday.
3 hour and 24 minute delay. So all that baseball experience I've had in my lifetime paid off.
Yeah. I'll let you go.
No. That's okay. I was just going to ask you just very quickly about, you know, you want to move on and get to the next one right away. You're later in the season now, Joe. Are you seeing with some younger players a couple of building blocks that moving forward are going to be pluses for you?
We just as the way our roster evolved in terms of injury, we've played some really young players, freshmen. P.J. Barr as a starting guard, which in the offensive line, it's really the hardest place to play as a freshman because not only are you going against, you know, what they learned in high school in terms of scheme, technique, there's a big difference between a 19 or an 18-year-old and a 22, 23-year-old, in terms of weight room differences. But he's done a very good job, and I believe he's going to be a very good player. And then Brandon Benson, our safety, I think Brandon was a little guilty on Saturday of trying to make every play and not just the plays that he's supposed to make. And you know, when you turn the ball over, it's unique. When I watch the video, we tie it up 7-7 with an 85-yard run by Chad Freshnock. Mm-hmm. Then it seemed like the next series is 28-7. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it to you, but I think I talked to Sean about it, is that the thing that I knew we would be challenged with if we got into a track meet with that team, because they've always been very good at putting points on the board, and we're not there yet. I think that the development of Justin Bethea as a receiver, Marcus Ademiola is a tight end, but we used him as a receiver, and he really played a good game. I think that those guys will continue to get better and better. And you rely heavily on your leadership when you lose two in a row like we have, and they've been outstanding. And they came out yesterday open-minded, open-eyed in terms of some of the corrections we had to make. And that, what I've been doing with them on Sunday nights is I've been just taking them out and running them. And a lot of striders, nothing really full speed. And they really worked hard, and they worked hard in the weight room yesterday as well. So, you know, it's senior day. It's amazing how quickly this goes. We've actually been together for a little over 3 months, and it just goes so fast once you get rolling. But every team leaves its impression on you, and this one will. I really value the young men that obviously you recruit, but you have a chance to coach them and see that they go from who they were when they got here to who they are. And it, in their minds, you know, they don't think it's going to go fast until it has. Mm-hmm. I had an alum show up at our Lafayette game a couple weeks ago and put his arm around me, and he said, "Coach, you never told me it was going to be like this." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Real life." And that's the way it is. That's the way it is.
Three scoring drives for Lehigh because of the turnovers totaled 144 yards in that first quarter. The field position game, you were minus 13 yards per possession in this game. That's 169 yards. And, you know, the turnovers, of course, play a role in that. But just give everyone an idea the role of field position and what it does for the psyche of a football team based on where they start.
No, it's, you know, you just look at percentages, and the longer a field is for an offense, the less percentage they have of scoring, and it goes up dramatically as the field gets shorter and shorter. And especially with an explosive offense, the quarterback is a great player, the tailback's a great player. And it's, you know, I'll make a baseball comparison, it's short porch. And
right.
When you turn the ball over and they get it in the red zone, in most cases, a team like that, they're gonna score a touchdown. You try to limit them to a field goal, they're gonna score a touchdown. And when you have to deal with a long field, it's unique. You say this because when Chad broke the 85-yard run, I slowed it down for the team yesterday. I say, see all these yards? Those are snaps we do not have to take. Right. And when you can hit a home run, it's great to see him do that. You know, he played last year with a knee brace on because he had to. Taking the brace off is really he is a legitimately speed player, and he's very similar to Bragolone in that regard. I just see him getting better and better, and we're going to have Joe DeFloria back this week, and it'll be, you know, you can only cut the pie up so many ways, but field position, especially with a weapon like Alex Peachin, he can really change the field. And I think the one long field they had early, they got out right away. And I'm a analytics guy, and I know the analytics of as that field changes, so does their percentage of scoring go up. And it's true in all football, well, whether it's Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays, it's true.
Mm-hmm. 34 minutes time of possession for Lehigh in the game. In fact, on first down, they had 31 first down plays, 27 were runs. In that style, and then of course mentally you're playing from behind too, but in that style, did it have a tendency to wear down as the game went?
You know, I think Andy did a good job in managing the game once they got that lead of not only were they running the football, they were running the clock. And I don't think we wore down physically, but it really takes that clock away, and it put us in a position where in the second half, early in the third quarter, we went into a 2-minute mode, and actually moved the ball pretty effectively. But when you get that far behind, it really becomes you better gain your chunks, and you better bypass third downs or make your third downs. And he played it well. Andy played it well, and that he knew that once he had that type of lead that he was going to go for time of possession. And he's a really good coach. You know, he had a chance, if he wanted to run it up. He didn't. I think he thought that after we scored our last point, I was going to kick an onside kick. And if the score were closer, I would have. But, you know, when you kick onside kicks, there's some unique collisions there. And obviously you want to get practice with that, but you don't want to get anybody hurt in that situation. And I think with a real limited amount of time left in the game, I might have just kicked it out of bounds if I had a chance to do it over again. But we kick it out of bounds often enough, so he's had enough practice with that. He's actually gotten a lot better. He's a freshman too, Ethan Torres.
You mentioned Chad Freshnock taking it 85 yards for a touchdown. Now let's remove that from what he did. So it would have been 15 carries for 89 yards. That's almost 6 yards a carry. What kind of feel are you seeing from him as a running back? And there's only going to be one ball to go around. As you mentioned, you've got people coming back. But to see a guy get 6 yards a carry in conjunction with the offensive line outside of the 85-yard run.
I think he's done a very good job of setting up his blocks. He's very hard to tackle, and because he's so strong, he's gotten better at playing behind his pads as a runner. And when you get to the next level of defense, in many cases, if they're not going to tackle you frontally, side tackles aren't cut tackles, where a lot of people, if they're coming in and tackling them from the front, they'll try and cut them because they can't take them on up high. So he just runs through those tackles. And that's, you know, we have a goal each week for our defense of only so many missed tackles. I think he made quite a few of the Lehigh guys miss tackles. Would have been nice to be able to focus on the run game a little bit more than we did. But like I said, the scoreboard really changes what you have to do And it's that change took place in the third quarter. But Chad's only going to get better and better, and came through healthy, which is an important thing, because when you get that many carries, you're not getting hit by one or two guys. But I think he goes by the mindset is he's going to be the hitter and not the recipient. Those are the best backs.
With Georgetown, they're a team that has struggled running the football to this point, Joe. How mindful, though, do you still have to be as a defense to make sure that they don't run the football and don't get any confidence there and force them to be one-dimensional?
Yeah, I think it's important that we do that, and we've always been, in most cases, pretty good at stopping the run. They have played three different quarterbacks, and you know, I think some of that has to do with some injury issues they've had, but if we can make them one-dimensional, I think it gives us a big advantage. And I think one of the things we're going to do, well, I know one of the things we're going to do, we've had Simeon Page playing really two different roles in the Lehigh and Colgate game. He played as a stand-up defensive end. He's more a stand-up pressure linebacker that people have to account for in the run game, but I think he does better in the box and on the edge of the box, and we're going to use him more in that regard this week as more a true linebacker, but moving to his fits. And then Abdul Anderson, I thought he played well against Lehigh, and we need him to have a dominant day against Georgetown. Georgetown has a couple of freshmen on that offensive line, and I'm sure Abdul is going to do his best to introduce himself to them.
Right. Yeah, they've given up 48 points their last three games, which is a dramatic improvement. Georgetown has improved itself defensively. Joe, what would it mean in a game like this where you're the team that is playing with the lead and you're the team dictating will?
No, we want to get back in that. The important thing for us is we can't turn the ball over. And if we get the lead, we've been good at doing what Lehigh did to us. We've been good at milking the clock, using the run game, and playing field position. And you know, that's what every coach wants. He wants to be in a position where it's so much easier to play with the lead, any lead. And I think a lot of that goes back to how we start. If we can start well, I think it's going to bode well for us. Senior day, we're honoring 18 young men that have been with us in a quick 4 years. And it gets a little bit emotional there, but they've got to be focused on what it's going to take to make sure that they, in playing their last game in Christy Masterson, it's a positive thing for them, their families, and us as a program. And it really gives us a chance because for us to go out with a winning season, we've got to win this one. And then it gives you an opportunity to win the next one. But they know how important this game is. And I told them after the game, I talked to them about mistakes, but I also said that there's only one way we can prepare for this game, and I said I know that we will, and I know they will, and excited about these weeks. Sometimes when you lose, the weeks are longer than when you win. Mm-hmm. Bob O'Dell, who was he was actually my assistant offensive line coach here back in the '80s in the College Hall of Fame. Bob said to me once, losing's worse than winning's good, and that is so true.
Yep. No question. And final question. You've referenced senior day a couple of times. You've been through the ups and downs with them, you know, on the field, off the field, so forth. What has this group of seniors meant to you as the coach?
You know, I think that as a group, obviously getting to know them as high school juniors, seeing them as high school seniors, them making the decision to come here. And the thing I'd say about this group, the off-the-field things have been really minimal, and that thank them, you know, because there's only so many fires you can put out. But to see them grow as men, that to me is the most important thing, that is the reward, ultimate reward, regardless of the pressure we put on ourselves in terms of wins and losses. To see them take one more step towards manhood, and I've heard it termed, and I might have used it here previously, is that the purest definition of the word coach is taking someone of importance from where they are to where they need to be. And you know, sometimes it takes a couple years after graduation for them to come back, look me in the eye, and say, you know, you were right. I go, yeah, thank you. And, but it's really a process that I'm privileged to be a part of, and, you know, they graduate, but they never go away. And I had a couple of them in my office on Sunday that come back to take care of the young ladies that they're dating or going out with, and they make sure they stop by the office. They try to steal T-shirts, which they are pretty effective at doing. And but it's good to catch up with them and see what they're doing in their lives and making sure they stay in shape and take care of their bodies and take care of their moms and dads. That's a reward.
Well, in the process of this show, it's always a privilege to have you on. I appreciate everything you continue to do for us, and we appreciate the time you gave us today. Good luck coming up on Saturday.
I appreciate it, Steve. You guys have a great trip to it's at Penn State this week. Penn State Rutgers, right?
Yeah, finally home. It's Rutgers, your old stomping ground.
Yeah, doesn't look like any thunderstorms though, so you'll have to cut your conversation short.
Yeah, we'll do that. Believe me, after I got to the P's in the phone book.
All right, my man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach. You bet.
Take care, Sean.
You bet.
Bye.
Joe Susan, head football coach at Bucknell. By the way, Joe and everybody will be at Maddie's coming up on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. I know you're going.
I will be there. Public is invited. Lunch from noon until 1. Your chance to win some Bucknell prizes and some of those T-shirts, too, from Joe's office.
Doug will be there.
You bet. MC.
Should I ask?
Oh, and speaking of, another type of MC, Matt Catrillo, he'll be there too.
Oh, Matt's wonderful.
Matt will be on the call with Kevin on Saturday.
Yes, he will.
Since Doug will be on basketball duty.
But will Kevin be at Maddie's?
Told me today he would be.
Wow.
I was sitting down when he said that. Glad I was.
Well, might I then suggest autographs? If all of you could sign something for Kevin, that'd be great. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Okay, so I'm looking at the forecast. These things change, of course. Is there a profession where you can be more wrong and still keep working? I mean, really.
We should have had concerns Saturday out of the gate when Jack gave the weather report after your interview with Coach when he said iffy. although it was iffy times 30.
Right. But I'm looking at this weekend.
Right.
Now, the forecast here says that Friday is going to be 37 degrees. And Saturday is going to be 35. Mm. So I made an executive decision tonight with the temperature 57 that I know it's still 2 weeks away, and I'm not turning anything on until Thanksgiving.
There
but
you
I
go.
Have no practice. I have no practices tonight. I'm doing the light thing tonight.
There you go.
I'm gonna see if I can do this in an hour and go, okay, great, we're done.
I was actually coming back from lunch one day last week. I was driving through Shamokin Dam, and one house was already decorated for Christmas.
Well, I mean, I'm not, we don't put up inflatables or anything like that. I just put lights on bushes. All right. But I'm looking at the forecast.
You mean to tell me you're not the Clark Griswold of your block?
Far from it. But I'm looking at this doggone forecast here. All right. And I'm reading this thing. I'm like,
you're getting cold just reading it.
Yeah, I'm like suddenly I'm starting to freeze. Okay, tomorrow 41. All right. Tomorrow, Wednesday 46. Thursday 49, but with the talk show, I'm not going to be available. Then 38 and 35 on Friday and Saturday, 43 on Sunday. That's it. We're doing the 57 degree thing now. I already prepared the Campbell game for Friday. I already prepared the Rutgers game for Saturday. So I'm going to take an hour and get this done. That way, when I'm looking at it, frost and a withering pumpkin on Friday morning, I go, yeah, my stuff's done.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.